The Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
People think we're dead. We're not. People think that we've disappeared forever. We haven't. People think that Lloyd has hibernated into a cave in the mid-Wales area, surrounded by nothing but mutton and lambs and sheep. But that is not the case. The Magic Podcast is back, bigger and better than before, with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
How you doing, Lloyd?
I'm good, man. I was going to say, people wish we were dead. People think we're dead.
You know that we've left it too long between episodes.
Oh, you bunch of bastards.
You know that we've left it too long between episodes when, you left it too long between episodes when the Magic Cafe, the posting on the Magic Cafe going, what's happened to the Magic Podcast? Lloyd doesn't sound like he wants to do it anymore. Lloyd never wanted to do it from day one.
I've never been bothered about this. No, I am bothered. I think the confusion comes in. I get to a point where it's like 2 hours in, or sometimes we've been like 3 hours into recording, and I'm losing the fucking will to live. There are sheep out there with cold arseholes waiting for me to fulfill their dreams. And I'm sat here talking to you. So...
I get it. That's why the Black Arts Podcast is almost every single week, because it's short and snappy, while this is long and lethal.
That's what she said. Well, if the podcast were 45 minutes, it would be every week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be every week, but I can guarantee it being every week. Who gives a fuck? This is the thing. That's our one listener. So who gives a shit?
Yeah, well,
no one listens to this podcast. Nobody fucking listens to it.
Unfortunately, they fucking do. But I'll tell you something. You know, that guy on the cafe, he was like, "Why doesn't Craig get Pig Cake in? Why doesn't Craig get David Jonathan in?" The reason I don't is because that's not what the Magic Podcast is about. It's about me and Lloyd. It's about the relationship between me and Lloyd. It's our views on magic. And you know, I've had stands in the past, but the problem is it takes a long time to organize that. Normally, when I'm doing it with Pig Cake and David Jonathan, don't forget they're in a completely fucking different time zone. So I'm normally staying up until 1:30 in the morning to film a podcast with them. It becomes more problematic if it's not Lloyd. So
pressure then, Lloyd, for fuck's sake. I was hoping you'd be like, yeah, actually, that's a good idea.
But it's kind of like
shit all over my dreams.
I try and get stand in sometimes, but it's not always possible. But you know, I do try.
Cowboy magician Tyler Lensford, he's a good stand in.
Tyler's good at stand in, but again, the last time I filmed with Tyler, it was 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, what else are you doing at 2 a.m. in the morning? You're not sleeping. All you're doing is you're using the Magic Cafe instead of Pornhub. You're furiously tugging yourself off. Self-pollution.
It's funny because it's true.
And if you're a new listener to the Magic Podcast, this is your first episode. There are other podcasts available. There are many other podcasts available that do not talk quite as disgustingly as this.
Yeah. Honestly, you don't want to listen to this shit. Go find another podcast. There's some amazing ones out there. This is just mine and Lloyd's therapy session, and we do everything. To hear our ramblings. There is nothing of any substance here at all. You will leave this podcast having listened to the whole of it. You will not be a better person. You will not get any extra information. You will not be educated in any way, shape, or form. If anything, the only thing that will happen when you listen to this podcast is at the end of it, you'll feel slightly depressed. Older. You'll be a little bit older, and you'll have a weird feeling inside that makes you want to fuck sheep. And you'll look at Peter Nardi in a very, very different way next time you see his magic at a magic convention. You'll look at him in the face, and then you'll glance down at his ball sack. That is literally...
Shiny ball bag.
His shiny ball bag.
Like a dolphin's back. I heard he has no wrinkles on his ball sack. That's just what I've heard. It's a,
I heard that as well.
What floats around.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I tell you what,
it's like a metal egg.
Pete's over in Italy at the moment. I just love the fact that the guy looks like the fucking Godfather. And he's now over in Italy. Probably. Yeah, it's a, this... Oh, it's funny. But how are you?
I'm fucking great. Do you want to know what? We were supposed to record at 9 a.m. this morning, and I said I'm a bit delayed, which is true. Do you know why I was delayed?
You were playing with your dog.
Oh, well, yeah. I dropped my kid to nursery and decided to walk back. Kaylee went to the gym. I went in the car with her and the dog. I thought, I'll walk back with the dog from the nursery. And then you text me as she pulled off. Said, we were recording the podcast at 9 o'clock. It was 9:10. And I was like, yep. Completely forgot. Totally delayed. Held up. Currently watching my dog take a shit in the woods.
Well, you know, there's certain things that are more important than this podcast. Like anything, really. Anything. Anything. Anything at all. But, you know.
Some people may think that we're joking about saying that there is nothing of substance they'll get from this podcast. We're 100% serious. This is purely wasting your time if you're listening to this. So just know that and going into it. We're not being ironic.
No,
you're not going to get any new ideas. You're not going to learn from it. You're just going to possibly be offended. Or you said a weird feeling to fuck sheep. That's not weird in Wales.
No, that's not just weird in Wales. It's weird outside of Wales and Australia.
New Zealand.
New Zealand, sorry. Yeah, New Zealand.
But also fuck Australia too, eh? Just throw that into the mix.
I've seen you hanging out with Bo Kramer at Magic Convention.
Hanging out of Bo Kramer. There's a anyway, what should we talk about, man? New products. I feel like I should know there's new products out. Like, what's everyone talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, before we leap straight into the new products, is there any...
I can't remember the format of this podcast anymore.
Yeah, well, first of all, we talk about any stuff that's happening in the Magic community. Mm-hmm. And one thing to talk about is what the fuck happened to David Copperfield's moon vanish or sun vanish, or wasn't he meant to vanish something from the sky? It was meant to vanish the moon.
So I did a whole YouTube video on it and they reached out and said they liked the video. The team did.
What the fuck is going on? Why is he stopped?
I have no fucking idea, but I don't know. It was supposed to be, he booked time off his live shows, I'd found out through research. And when I say research, I mean, I read other people's comments. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't go down. I think there was like some mild controversy surrounding his private life that may have gone down, or potential. I don't know. I don't really want to be talking about this shit, but apparently I think there was like some shit going on in his personal life. I think
he hasn't made a statement to say he's not doing it, so maybe it's just going to get put.
He has made a statement to say that it's still happening, but okay, that's good. And that they were sending stuff to the moon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But I haven't really been following it too much, to be honest.
Okay. Well. Nothing else to say about that then, because I can't think of that. You know, I mean, it'll happen when it happens. Have you heard about anything that's happening? BGT is back next week. I've heard there's a bunch of magicians on BGT this year. BGT is always a good place to get the public excited about magic because there's always good magicians that are coming through.
I think he's like one of my favorite magicians in the world right now going on there.
I'm not doing it, Lloyd. It's not me.
Oh no, of course it wasn't you. I mean, go right down the list. I want to make an early prediction. I can't say who until they appear on screen. And you know how much of a fucking blabbermouth I am. So I'm literally closing my eyes.
Can you tell me? Can you tap it into the chat?
Yes, but I don't want to tap too loud so they can count how many letters they are. So I'll just put two initials, the first and last name. Does that make sense to you?
No, not at all.
Okay. If I type these two initials, you'll understand.
Oh, fuck a doodle. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He could win the whole thing.
I think he could win the whole thing. I think he or she could be a she.
Could be a she.
It would explain my man crush.
They could win the whole thing.
Yeah, I actually think they could.
I wouldn't have thought that that person would have done BGT. Wow. Okay. Game changer. That's exciting. Very.
I think that, like, genuinely, and I would be highly surprised if this person did not get through to the top 10.
No, I'd be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
And if they didn't, I'd unfriend them. That's it.
Okay, that's big. That's reason right there to watch BGT. Exciting stuff.
Everyone's listening now trying to figure out who it is.
Yeah, nobody will guess. Not in a million years.
I'm trying to think, should we wind them up and tell them people it's not? Or that it could be? No, don't. It's someone really good. Just tune in and watch it. You'll find out.
Yeah, this little lone guy that's trying to make a name for himself. His name is Stephen Frayne. He's going on there. He's
Stephen Mulhern.
It's Stephen Mulhern. That's who it is, yeah. okay, cool. That's very exciting. I had a name as well that I thought was going to do really well, but it's not that name. But that's cool. BGT, very, very exciting coming up. Chris Congreve's convention took place last weekend. I wasn't there, unfortunately, because I was at the Young Magician of the Year competition with Ryland. But from all accounts, I've heard that it went very, very well. I've spoken to a few people that went there. They were blown away. He had dealers. He had star lecturers. He had James Brown there. He had Mark Elsden there. He had Gary Jones there. He had Michael Murray there. He had, Hog.
Man. Stuart Hogg's the only hog that I know.
I don't know. Is it Hog or Hod? I don't know. A guy that I don't know. But everybody said that the whole convention was brilliant. And he's already announced that he's doing it again in 2025. So it's cool. It's really, really good. Chris is a very good guy. He's doing really well with Stellar Magic, you know, his production company. He's had a couple of really big hits with that production company. And now with this on, you know, that as part of his brand. Wow. I think Chris is doing a great job. Really do think that Chris is doing a great job.
I wish I went to it. I can't believe you didn't go to it.
I couldn't. I was at the Young Magician of the Year competition watching Ryland.
Oh, shit. What went on there? What did I miss?
Well, it was a great competition. Ryland did not win. Ryland did not. I had Ryland down to place, but there were so many great. I'm telling you right now, the Young Magician of the Year 2024 competition was one of the best competitions I've ever seen, regardless of age. They are so much better than pretty much any adult I've ever seen. There were 8 competitors. You had Ryland, who was doing his Harry Potter act. Then you had Jack Ranger Walsh, who's fairly big on social media, and he was doing a mentalism routine. And he actually used, as part of the mental, he fooled the whole audience. And it was all based around predicting the lottery, and there were scratch cards involved, and there was a serial number prediction. It was all very well put together. But he used your app with the timing, with the timer.
Oh, cool.
As part of the routine, and it was very, very, very well done.
He's my winner then. I don't know who won it, but that's the winner right there.
And then you had who was after that? Joseph Westbury, who did a waiter themed act, which was kind of really interesting. He had this whole act where he had this table set up on stage as if it was a restaurant. And like it was a restaurant, and he was doing waiter themed magic. So he started off with a bottle of wine production. He was turning forks into knives. He was turning cutlery in itself. He did a very nice version of liquid metal. He was doing card stabs. It was all themed. And at the end, he pulled the tablecloth off the table to reveal a card prediction without all of the cups and plates and everything going anywhere. And then when he dropped it, he'd made a person appear on stage holding the card that somebody thought of.
Fuck right off. Did he win?
No, didn't even play.
He didn't win. That's an amazing routine idea.
It really is. All of them had amazing routines. Everybody was themed. Ryland's act was all themed to Harry Potter. Jack His act was all themed to lottery. His act was all themed to waiters. The next act, which is the which came third, is Rafferty Coop. And Rafferty Coop did
awesome.
Yeah. Well, he did a completely silent act. He was dressed like an old-fashioned desert explorer. And he came on stage with these binoculars as if he was in the desert going like this. And there was a flip chart on the stage, and it said Desert Survival Guide. And so he opened it up, and the first page said Stay Hydrated. So he had this, like, water canister, but there was no water in it. So then he took his jacket off, and he did the Pat Page, David Penn glass production, and he produced a glass of water out of his sleeve and drank it, put it down on the stage. Then he turned it over, and the next one was Remember to Eat. So he did Earth Shoes by Paul Harris, and he pulled his boot off, and there was an apple in there, which was really cool. He ate the apple, put it down. Then he turned the page, and it was like, Remember to Stay Hydrated. So he reached into the shoe. There was another glass of water in there. And basically, he didn't say a word, but he kept flipping this flip chart over, and he was doing whatever it said. But every other page was Stay Hydrated, Stay Hydrated. Throughout the act, he produced, I think, 23 glasses of water.
Did he win it?
And drank them. And there was this really funny part where he did the Ben Hart, the really good looking.
Describe the trick and I'll know.
Yeah, the thing where you take a piece of paper and you bounce it up and down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ben Hart popularized it.
Ben Hart, yeah. And it turns into an egg. He did that. And then when he had the egg, they turned the flip chart over and it was like, drink anything. He tapped the egg into the glass. It was a real egg, and he drank the egg raw. You know, really did. Over the course of the weekend, he did it over the course of the day because he had rehearsals, like a full dress rehearsal, then two performances, one matinee and an evening. He drank three raw eggs and I think something like 63 glasses of water.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was
basically
funny.
Rocky.
He came third.
How did he not win? What came second and first?
Well, then the next act, number five, was Arabella Crawford, who is an incredible magician. Seen her perform many, many times. She came second.
What style of magic does she do?
She was completely and totally in character. She had a Lord of the Rings act, and she came on stage in full dress and makeup as Gollum. And she just owned it. She was like, you know, she was like, but how she interacted with the audience was amazing. So she came out and she was like, oh, my precious. You know, she was talking about the rings, and she was like, have you got a precious for me? She borrowed three rings from the audience as Gollum. And she did a beautiful linking finger rings routine on stage. So the three rings linked together. And then she was unlinking them one by one. The second link, which I think was a David Regal thing, she's got the two rings, and you see the moment that they separate in midair. It was amazing. But if her character work was brilliant, she was like, now they're separated. Would you like this ring? You know, would you like your precious back? And the member of the audience was like, yes. She was like, yeah, man. Like, she was so, it was uncomfortable at points. Like, but then she went into a chop cup routine. So the last ring she didn't give back. She vanished it. She went into a chop cup routine with eyeballs. She was talking about she wants some food now, and she likes eating goblins' eyeballs, and she did this whole thing. And then at the end, the lemon appears. If you've read Lord of the Rings, you know that Gollum likes lemons but doesn't like eggs. She cut open the lemon. Inside the lemon was an egg. She cracked open the egg. Inside the egg was a walnut. And inside the walnut was the last person's ring, which she gave back to them.
What age was this competitor?
14.
Fucking hell.
Mm.
Fucking hell. That was incredible.
She was amazing.
Craig is currently coughing his guts up.
Oh my God, yeah, I just had a frog in my throat. Competitor number six was Killian O'Connor.
Oh, Killian. Love Killian.
Did his BGT act along with a few extra bits and pieces. So he did his audition from BGT. So he did your Acme Portable Hole with the jumbo card that he did on BGT.
Basically, I should have won.
Yeah, it was your...
Just saying.
Yeah, two or three of the acts were doing material that you created, which is awesome. So he did your Acme Portable Hole. Then he did Milk and Light Bulb. Then he did... Something else, and then something else, and he finished off with kind of calculator prediction. It could have been Kronos, could have been Toxic Plus. I'm not too sure which one. Cypher. And it was really well. I mean, it was Killian. It was really, really slick. It was probably the only act that wasn't themed, other than he was talking about autism, and his journey through magic and how his magic has helped him with his autism and his dyspraxia. So very inspirational, very motivational. And then the seventh act was there are eight acts in total. The seventh act was Christopher Doxey. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be the funniest comedy magician in the world in the next 5 to 10 years.
What?
Kid has funny bones. He was hilarious. He was just funny as fuck. He was one of the funniest acts I've ever seen at the age of like 14 or something. He was brilliant. Very strong magic. He had people laughing from the second he walked on stage. And the premise that he had is he had this magic bell. And every time the bell rings, something magical happens, which sounds like a hokey presentation, but he just made it so funny. I actually had him down as a wild card to win it, but he didn't place.
Didn't play it? Jesus.
There's so many acts. Well, I had five or six different acts, and I thought I would not be surprised if any one of them won it. But the winner was the final act, Harry Merlin Piper, Rodney Piper's son. Harry Merlin Piper came out and did this whole themed act based on getting in trouble for practicing magic at school. Okay. And comes out and talks about how he gets in trouble for practicing magic in school. He starts off by going over to a close-up pad, and he picks up a pencil case, and he's a very good ventriloquist, Harry is. And he started off doing this vent routine with a pencil case. He kind of had a fake mouth on it, and the pencil case was singing, so he showed his ventriloquism skills. But then he was like, oh my God, the teacher's coming. I better rub you out. He took a rubber out the pencil case, rubbed the mouth out, then put the rubber on the table. And he had a TV screen set up on stage. And the reason is he then went into Wiltersize rose petal thing. You know, the thing he did on AGT? He was doing that, but with rubbers.
Whoa.
Which was really cool. And then he turned them into playing cards. And then he made the cards vanish in a big bunch of confetti. And then he went forward and he did one of the most astounding 3-minute card manipulation routines I've ever seen. He was just making cards appear. They were coming all over the stage. It was as good as anybody I've seen from Korea. Like, it was amazing. And he had the audience just blown away with that act. And rightful winner.
Is there any way to watch the whole thing?
I mean, you're a Magic Circle member, aren't you?
Yes, I think, unless they banned me already.
I don't think they've banned you.
Take any part in the Magic Circle, if I'm being honest. Like,
I know, but if you're a member, and I think you are, you're going to have a login to their system, and they might show it in the system. It might be in their archives. They normally do that. So I'll find out for you. Uh-huh. But they might have videoed the acts. I don't know. I haven't heard. But Simon Lipkin compared the whole thing. And was so funny. Like Rafferty's act where he made 17, 18, 20 glasses of water appear and he was drinking them. He was sitting down with each act afterwards on the edge of the stage and interviewing them. And he just turned around to Rafferty and went, you look really tired. That must have been a very hard act. And Rafferty was like, he was. He's like, here you go, mate. And he just gave him a bottle of water. Like just stuff like that. It was very funny. Very, very funny. It was one of the best shows, magic shows, I've seen in a long time. Every act was phenomenal. If it was a show, it would have been like one of the best shows ever. As it was a competition. Anybody could have won, and anyone could have placed.
What I like about the younger acts is that they can be more daring with the material they choose, and they come across sometimes more hungry for it. You know, like you see, I've seen a lot of magic competitions, especially I've seen like, I don't know, 4 FISMs so far, maybe 5. Is that like the acts are really polished and they're really, really good. And of course, they all really want it. But there's, I don't know, the difference between the younger acts is that they're ultra hungry and sometimes it's like the lack of 20 years of experience on stage. Sometimes I may find it more, I don't know, entertaining, more interesting. They're just more raw in a way, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Like some of those acts alone, like Rafferty's, the Gollum act, I've never even seen. All I'm picturing is like the witch from BGT style kind of Gollum.
Yeah, but with more sort of tongue-in-cheek humor to it and better magic. Like she did the most flawless linking ring, linking finger. And you don't see linking finger rings done very often these days. And she
Yeah,
did
no.
linking finger rings phenomenally well.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds like it was a good weekend.
Yeah, really was. So I had a great weekend, really good weekend. But yeah, that's everything that's going on in magic. You mentioned it a little while ago. Let's talk about some new products. Let's talk about some.
Yep.
Whoa, boy. So obviously, I've
What the
got
fuck's been
level.
released? Well,
You've not had your finger on the pulse, have you? I can tell.
I kind of do, but my I'm trying to figure out why I'm never really in the loop with new products that are released. And I think it's more because I tend to see stuff before it comes out. So and I'm not really fully aware of like the launch of these products these days. So I may have some knowledge of them from beforehand. Like I'm not, but first thing I do is look on the Magic Cafe. It makes me want to peel my skin off with a razor blade.
No. Right
Nothing
there with
jumps
you.
out to me. Have we
First
talked about Acronym on here?
who?
Acronym, the app?
No.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, it's not an app, really.
No.
Dude, the trick with Wikipedia.
No.
Oh my God, I have no skin in the game on this one. Other than I've seen it before, I think I'm in the video trailer for it, but I don't know the guys. I have zero affiliation with it. I want to say it's a front runner for trick of the year. Yeah,
Wow.
definitely. Like for me, I can't think of a better trick that's been released this year. And it's so easy to do, so fucking practical, and so surefire. And the reveal is like, it hits you in a wave. I'm trying to think what the best way is that I could potentially. I can't really show it to you. No, I can't perform it to you. I'll have to explain to you what it is. I could perform it to you online, but it would just take ages over here. But in essence, right? You before you begin, you tell a participant, imagine rolling a die, and there's going to be a number from 1 to 6 on top. What number do you see?
Four.
4. Okay, so we'll remember that. We'll come back to it later. I'm going to take your phone. I want you to open up Safari. I'm going to go to Wikipedia and search for an article, like, I don't know, telescope. Okay, and then on the Wikipedia page, you know how they have the blue links in the articles to take you to different articles?
Yeah.
What I want you to do is go through with a fine-tooth comb and pick any blue link that you see. Right, as you do that, tell everyone what it is. So I don't know. You tell them. I can't think of off the top of my head, but let's say I don't know, bromine, type of chemical. And they say,
Okay.
as you do this, I'm going to write it down. So I write down the first article link. Then I say, click on another one, and I write down the next article link. It could be, Appalachia. Yeah, I don't know. And then I do you do 3 more. So you're just clicking any blue link from the article. It could be any part of the article. You can read it. You can look at it. It's absolutely fine. And I write down the 5 articles, for example, that you choose. Yeah. And you can change your mind as you're doing this. It's like it's so open. And then I say, perfect. That's enough. Put your phone away and tell everyone again what the number was that you rolled on the die.
4.
4. Now I say look at the fourth letter in the first word and it would be the letter C. I say look at the fourth letter in the second word and it would be an R. And it continues on until it spells your name. The fourth letter of every fucking word that you chose spells the person's name or any word that you want.
That's cool.
It's honestly, it probably doesn't sound as good explaining it like this, but when you see it and have it, especially if you've ever done on you, it's fucking outstanding. Out fucking standing. And it's
Wow.
by Creative Labs or Conjuring Labs, I want to say. It's called Acronym. It's a French company. And yeah, it's just the bomb. I can't really give it any higher praise than that. The best way to describe it, because it's one of those reveals that stares them in the face, stares you in the face, and it's just so open. And this is going to sound a bit egotistical, But the closest reveal I can think of to it is the Cognito reveal, where they're staring at that image of the cards, and they, and you know what I mean, and then it finally it just jumps out of them. It's like that kind of thing, you know. We get like that. Oh, fuck! It's just wild. It's so good, and then so many big name magicians are praising it from the rooftops, and rightly so. So yeah, I know that's been released recently. That could be in the last 3 weeks, could be the last month, but I know it's been released.
I noticed that there's something that's just been emailed to me from the Secret Source. Have you seen that? Yeah, the new thing by Greg Wilson. Algorithm.
So I have heard about this. Is this like a re-release, or have I just known about it for a while?
I don't know. It's apparently a new thing. What if you could access a piece of technology so advanced you can instantly determine what card the spectator is thinking of? A routine so deceptive that by the time you've completed the first phase, you're already five moves ahead of your audience. A hidden principle so powerful that you'll actually fool yourself even when you know how it works. The audience shuffles a deck and pulls out any five cards at random. You load up the algorithm on a borrowed smartphone. The spectator enters any four of the chosen cards into the algorithm. The algorithm processes the data and reveals the unknown card with 100% accuracy. If you wanted to, you could end the demonstration right there, but you don't. You do it again, but this time you up the odds. The audience chooses any four cards. The spectator enters any three of them into the algorithm. The algorithm processes the data and reveals the unknown card. It really is that straightforward, but it doesn't end there. You repeat the feat again, but this time with just three cards. Two of them are entered, and once again, the third is revealed. What the audience has witnessed now left the space of statistical impossibility and entered the realm of downright impossibility. And then the algorithm predicts the location and order of every single card in the deck with 100% accuracy. And I've got some great quotes here. Wow, that's killer. Dynamo. So convincing it needs a warning label. Mike Lamar. The algorithm is absolutely impossible. What a great trick. Christian Grace. And get this for a quote. They have built a quick, strong, and entertaining piece of magic with one of the 20th century's card magic's most surprising methods at its core. I liked it so much I contributed an alternative way to perform that's 100% self-working. Use any regular deck and any borrowed phone with no pairing or no apps to download or update. It's well-designed and fooling and fun to perform. That's a quote by new guy himself, Michael Weber.
Whoa. Yeah, I, from my memory, I'm sure I've seen video performances of this, or I feel like somebody else was telling me that this gets really good reactions, because the trick sounds really confusing.
Very confusing, to be honest.
But I feel it does get good reactions.
Well, Greg Wilson's obviously attached to it in some capacity, because his company has emailed out the link to it. And also, you look at the, I haven't watched the trailer, but I see a screenshot of the trailer and Greg's performing it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I'm trying to think, do I know anything more about it? I'm not sure. Either way, I've heard really good things about it. I probably need to refresh my memory on it. Other apps, talk about magic and technology, you have a new trick out.
Level Up.
Level Up, baby. Can you tell everyone about this?
Yeah, well, Level Up is something I've been working on for about 2.5 years, as you know, because this is something that I showed you when I first started working with Murphy's Magic all these years ago. And what it is, basically, is it's a way of doing coin magic with Nintendo Switch cartridges. The problem with coins, if you borrow coins, is less people carry coins around with them these days. Like, I had to stop doing Coin Vexed by David Penn, which I always loved. I just kind of had to stop doing it because I couldn't borrow coins anymore. It was just not a thing that I was able to do.
I remember at the London Magic Convention, Mark Kirstein was giving a lecture and he said, hands up everyone who's got coins in their pocket. And maybe a 10% of the audience did. He said, everyone stop and look around. And he said, hands up everyone who's got phones in their pocket. And every single person put their hands up. And he was like phone, for example, phone magic is more popular than coin magic now, or phones are more commonplace than coins. So why would anyone be against phone magic, for example, but then being more into coins, which are not commonplace these days? And yeah, exactly. So
Which is why whenever I've done coin magic in the past, I've always used silver dollars and half dollars, because my attitude is, if I'm going to do magic with a coin, I may as well bring out a coin that looks really cool and interesting that people can look at, that's obviously a collector's item, as opposed to bringing out something that you've borrowed, because very few people have that coin that you can borrow. Well, level up is basically it's basically a collection of gimmick cartridges. The main gimmick cartridge is a double facer. Gimmick Nintendo Switch cartridges. You get a case to put everything in, and you can perform absolute miracles with Nintendo Switch cartridges. Now, everybody knows what a Nintendo Switch is. Everyone knows what a Nintendo Switch cartridge is, even if you don't have a Nintendo Switch. It's the most popular console at the moment, and because everyone carries them around with them. Like, you go into a restaurant, restaurant workers especially, you go into a restaurant, you see kids in restaurants playing with their Switches all of the time. I have a Switch. I'm on the road. I'm all over the place. I'm either on a train or in a van. I go everywhere with these, with Nintendo Switch with me. So, you know, I can play it when I'm out and about. And the little case that it comes with, it's got space for all of these different cartridges. And it's basically just, I think, 12 routines with these cartridges. All of my work with the copper silver coin, but instead of using the copper silver coin, you're using a Nintendo Switch cartridge. And they look just like normal cartridges. And look, if you've seen the trailer, you'll know the reaction you get. People just freak out. Yeah, 100%.
I think it's one of those things as well to consider that, and this isn't to like try to encourage sales, but to think of something which has been on my mind for other things in Magic Loop recently, which is, even if you personally don't use a Nintendo Switch or you don't know anything about a Nintendo Switch, your audience will. And they'll relate to them a lot. And because obviously you can just see by the trailer alone, they get such fucking powerful reactions because it's commonplace now. It's the 21st. I feel like we're out of the 21st century, but you know what I mean? It's more common than coins.
Yep.
These days. Well, I don't know if a Switch is more common than coins, but they're equally as recognizable as coins. And it speaks for itself, but the amount of gaffes you get for it, for the price, I think it's just worth considering, even if you just don't know anything about them.
Oh, I completely agree. Completely agree, 100%. And I've been using this for like 2 years. There's a lot of people that have messaged me that have bought it and they've said, thanks so much. I'm now getting into coin magic now because of you, because I'd never bought coin magic before, but I've just bought Level Up and I'm really enjoying it. They're easier to palm. They're easier to hold. A lot of the routines are almost self-working because the cartridges do all the work for you, but it's examinable at the beginning, it's examinable at the end. It's just perfect. I think so anyway.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the product page again. It's so good and they literally look so legit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. They look, we spent so long getting the look of them absolutely perfect. Like, the first person to design these things for me was Steve Rowe. He 3D printed the original design for me. And then off the back of them being 3D printed, I then went to Penguin and they eventually injection molded them into what people have now. So they're all injection molded. They look wonderful. They're just perfect.
Oh, man. And so when was that released?
It was only a week ago. It was only about a week and a half ago. And so a lot of people are only just getting theirs now. But yeah, I'm really, really proud of this. I've bought three Penguin tricks out this year. Three tricks with Penguin I've bought out this year. The first one was Magic Button, which just blew up like there's no tomorrow. The second one was Mind Blocks, the Lego deck, which everybody absolutely loved. And then there's this one, which is a very big departure from anything that I've done before. This is a very kind of unique direction in terms of where I'm going. But I honestly think, from an EDC point of view, because you get the little case with it and you can just put all the cartridges in the case, and the case is so small it just fits into a shirt pocket, you can just have this with you and you can use it as an EDC anytime, anywhere. I think it's as strong an EDC as something like Keymaster, which has kind of become synonymous with my name.
I also think it's really good for social media because, like, I know a little bit about social media and stuff. And what I find is that so many of the because a lot of social media click-throughs and views and watches is based off the very first frame of the video, the first split second of it. And if someone's got an interest in magic, so they keep getting shown magic videos, if you see somebody holding cards in a snap change position, you tend to scroll past. If you see someone holding coins in a three-fly position, you know, you tend to scroll past because you've seen it, you know, I mean, at our age anyway, you've seen so much of it. But you see somebody holding three Nintendo Switch cartridges and they're about, it looks like they're about to do a three fly, you're going to stop and watch.
Yep.
And if you're not exactly. a magician, it's even more interesting. You're like, what the fuck is this guy going to do with these? And they only, you know, obviously if they'll have an interest in magic if they're getting recommended this stuff. So it's, yeah, it's just a different take on stuff that magicians already know and love. But can make it more visually appealing for some of the routines with for social media in more specifically.
Yeah, completely agree with you. So yeah, I mean, this is it's become really popular. A lot of people have picked it up, which is great. I very very proud of it. I put a video up on my channel on yesterday, kind of just showing all the different things you can do with it and going through a bunch of the different routines, but. I'm very proud of Level Up. I think it's great, and it's took a long time getting to the point where we're bringing it to market, and it's finally here, and I'm really excited about it.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
Speaking of new products, me and you have something. We've teased it last week, I think. Me and you got to see the
last time we were here. Yeah, we've got the amount of times that I've had the question, when are you releasing something with Lloyd? And everybody knows that we've got this long-running gaff deck that we're going to be bringing out eventually, because we've been very open about talking about it. When we actually do release that gaff deck, people will know that we've spent years working on it, because we've been talking about it for about 2 years. I think there's a couple of things we're working with each other on at the moment. There's that one that at the moment Phil Smith is putting together for us, you know. With Jake Keane, yeah. Oh, wow, the podcast come together. You, me, and Jake working on a product together. That's insane, right?
Filthy Magic 3-Way.
Filthy Magic 3-Way. With Phil Smith standing over the whole thing like a...
Just about to bukkake us all.
This thing that's...
Yeah, but that's your secret elixir, Phil.
This thing that's coming out, I think it's going to blindside a lot of people, because we've not even talked about it. We've not even mentioned it. We've not said anything about it. We've just quietly been, working on it behind the scenes, getting it to where it needs to be. And it's very, very good. Like, I saw the first draft of the trailer yesterday, which I know is not the finished draft, but just... You know, I was going out getting performances a couple of weeks ago with Nemed, and I was running around getting performances in London and Manchester and Birmingham, everywhere I could go and get performances. And then you see those, and I never, for anybody who's never filmed a project with a company before, you never see the performances until you see the finished product or you see the trailer. So you're going out and you're performing this stuff and you kind of say, well, that felt like a good performance. That felt like a good, but that felt good. They really reacted well to that. But then you're just focusing on getting the next performance and the next performance. And it's normally a very kind of stressful 2 days getting all of this stuff. And it's kind of like you forget almost how good it is because you're just focusing on getting the next performance. And then when you see the trailer, and I saw the trailer cut together, and there were all of those people going, oh my God, what the fuck? You know, this sort of stuff. You kind of then go, yeah, this is so fucking good. This trick is so good. And it's interesting. I went to you with the original concept. So I went to you with, hey, imagine this. And then we must have sat down with each other for hours over Zoom going, and you went, yeah, but what if you could do this? And I was like, oh, that's amazing. What if you could do this? And 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 we ended up taking so many principles and so many concepts and jamming it into this one product that it's now so far removed from what I originally went to you with. The core idea, the core principle is still there, but there's so much more to it.
The core principle is literally... not even half of what's in it now. But I think the interesting thing that, for me, at least with the project, is that the stuff that I created, and I think we both, like, sort of, the direction we took on the creative process for this was, it wasn't to, like every product's different, right? Sometimes you create a product, no, you don't create a product, you don't create, I mean, for products that I end up releasing, they normally come from creating something that I want to perform. And then out of the, you know, I'm always making new tricks here and there. If, you know, every week I'm probably making 3 or 4 new things. And it's the ones that end up, that I end up performing all the time, and I end up loving. And that's what becomes a product. And, but out of that like mix, some of them are products because when I show the magicians, they're like, oh, that's such a toy. I want it. Like, I just need to play with that. And it may not be the best, most, you know, reaction invoking thing, but it's just loads of fun. Because you have to remember, sometimes performing magic is just fun for you. Some tricks are like, you know, some tricks that exist out there, like tenure tricks, you know, they're more like, they're half, they're magic tricks, but they're half puzzles at the same time. And they're just fun to play with. Some things you create because you just know it's like an engaging piece of magic and people just like love watching it or listen, like it's enthralling. But with this project, it was like, for me at least anyway, all the material in it was designed purely with powerful reactions in mind. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like nothing for me at least in this project was put in there to make a to impress magicians. And they go, oh, I want that because I want to sit home and just fucking play with it, let alone perform it. This project was purely to the tricks that come out of it, just designed to just completely fucking baffle people. And I don't mean like there's no way they're going to work this shit out. But at the same time, it's designed to get fucking huge reactions, like hair at the back of the fucking neck stand up reactions. And it was not a different way, but often like I forget that when you create magic with that as your sole intention, you get the best material. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it feels like it was different this time and it feels like it worked.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the thing with it is, and Nemid obviously filmed the tutorial for us, and he'd never seen it up until that tutorial. And then he went out and he watched me get the performances, and he was just like blown away by what this could do. Because one of the things that's wonderful about this trick is the options that you have.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk up to a table or you walk up to a group of people, you could go in literally about 10 or 15 directions. If you want to do the best prediction you've ever seen, go for your life. If you want to do a really visual production of something, you can do that. If you want to go into a really cerebral type effect, I believe I can influence what you choose, you can do that. There's so many different ways that you can go with this when you walk up to a table. So you can literally go, I know this is a bit of a cliche, but you could go up to a gig and you could use this deck at every single table and do a completely different routine that looks nothing like the previous routine that you've done. Not a problem.
And there's a fucking awesome ACAN in there. Do any ACAN, ACAN connoisseurs? Yeah, well, fuck that. Yeah, it's a fucking... I won't say no more.
Not only is it an amazing ACAN, but I've never seen an approach like this before for how you get to that ACAN. And there's... I don't know if you saw the live performance footage. I went to the Magic Circle. And I performed this. I got the live performance footage here, actually. I'm hoping it's going to make the project. So I went to the Magic Circle and I took 3 very senior Magic Circle members into a private room. And we filmed a 20-minute performance to those 3 Magic Circle members with this one deck. I did a 20-minute act with this deck. Everything was different. Everything was unique. Every routine that you went into to the next routine was completely different to the routine before. Did this 20-minute act. And at the end, they were just like blown away. They were like, I've never seen anything like this before. I think one of the quotes from one of the members was, what sort of evil genius can build this much magic into one prop?
Yeah. It's bizarre. It's so much fun. It's such a fun project. And it's just one of those things that it's designed to go out and be done.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, I don't want to talk about our own shit.
Let me ask you a question that I know that everyone's going to ask, having just listened to us hype this up. People are going to have a field day, Craig and Lloyd are hyping their shit up again. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. For anybody who's now...
They would be wasting their time listening to this podcast. So
yeah, there's no fucking substance to this podcast at all.
There actually isn't.
When's the release date?
I don't fucking know, man.
They're in the warehouse.
Yeah, but it depends on when the trailer's finished. So, and then, yeah. I don't know, actually. I don't think it's long. I mean, like, I'm talking weeks, not months.
Yeah. A lot, the other thing that a lot of people don't realize, if you've never worked with a magic company before, especially one as big as Murphy's, is how long everything takes.
Mm.
People think that you can go to you can go film a project and then 2 weeks later it can be out. Oh my fucking God. Even if you've got them in the warehouse, even if the packaging is there, you could still be months away from this thing coming out. Not only from a logistical point of view of getting everything ready from an assets point of view, but also from the point of view of Murphy's have a lot of shit to release. They have a schedule. You know, you guys have a release schedule and you can't just release the same trick 15 times in a row. You have to vary it up. There's so many factors that go into when a product gets released that people just aren't even aware of. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people think that it's just guesswork and that,
whether it's like an in-house product, it's a marketing campaign that gets put behind it. And I think it's once a week, at least there's one main product from any magic company is like, the focus is put on and they like end into the calendar. I think it's once a week, maybe two a week, but I think it's once. And that could be from other companies or whatever. And like any other magic producer, they're working for months to make their baby project come to life. And then finally, when they get it all over to Murphy's, they have the assets, which is the trailer and explanation files, and they send the stock over. And then Murphy's will sort of say, okay, we're aiming to release this, 5 weeks from today, pencil that in your diary. So that is like set in stone. And they're doing that for, at least 52 products a year.
Yeah.
And each producer is excited for their release window to come up. So it's really hard, even when you sometimes have a project in the warehouse, which is ready to go, you can't push someone out of their release schedule because it's not fit.
Nope, not at all.
It's just simply like somebody's really excited and then you push someone back, you've got to push someone else back or double up in a week and it just doesn't... It's no bueno, but I do believe there is our slot is carved out in the calendar. I just couldn't tell you what it is, but I can find out.
And I believe I'm going to be going over to America soon to film some stuff in California for Murphy's. I'm very excited about that.
California way. Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
two things over there that I'm going to be doing, I believe, that are just
me. One of them is, yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah,
but let's stop talking all hypey and shit, because
let's talk about that. Are there any other I tell you what I love, right? I'm gonna give Murphy's a big kudos, a big shout out right now. I love what they've been doing recently, and I don't know if it's a company decision or whatever, you probably know more than me, but they've bought out this obviously they've got the rights to the L&L projects. They've just brought out this they've brought out this Professor's Nightmare set with beautiful ropes, all made just the right length. They've treated the ends so that they're just perfect. And they've included in it the world's greatest magic, Professor's Nightmare, with some of the best magicians teaching how to do Professor's Nightmare. It was amazing. Love that. They've now bought out the Ring and Rope project, which is exactly the same thing. You get this lovely ring, you get this lovely rope, you get all of these routines from the L&L set. A few weeks ago, they did the David Roth coin set where they had some coins that they included, replica Morgans that looked beautiful, regular half dollars as well, and instruction from David Roth. I love that they're taking all of these back catalog assets that from years and years and years ago, packaging them up for the new generation with all of the props that they need to be able to do that. I think that's super smart. I really like that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I zoned out then. I was reading about luxury stuff.
It's okay.
It's really good stuff. It's really good material. I've seen the trailer. Javier is in the trailers, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, Javier is amazing.
Javier's amazing. I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah. I want to grow up. I want to be. I want to be him when I grow up. Well, unfortunately, I don't think I'm ever going to grow up, so it's not going to happen. But hey ho, and a box of frogs. Couple of other things that have come out very quickly that we can talk about. Have you heard of Constructo by thinking paradox.
I was just looking at that now. Literally, that is the link that's open in front of me right fucking now.
Because that sounds fucking awesome.
Presento un nuevo efecto de magia por...
Fucking, hang on, £152.
It ain't cheap.
What is it?
Let me tell you what this is, apparently, according to the ad copy, this is what it is. Imagine materializing in your hand a thought-of card even before knowing its identity. So in other words, you stand on stage or close up or wherever, you show your hand empty, you close your hand, they think of a card, you open your hand, a card has appeared in your hand, and then you open it up and they say the name of the card and it's that one. Now listen to the key points. The card is not forced. The spectators make free choices and can even change their mind at any moment. You don't need to know the card in advance. Their card appears in your empty hand even before the spectator names it. No switches or indexes. Forget about complicated memorization. No clothing restrictions, no sleeves, no clothing gimmicks are used. Super easy to do. The appearance is visual, clean, easy to do. Technically, it's almost as easy as opening and closing your hand. Angle proof works great for close-up and stage. You can perform it for a small group, completely surrounded, or in front of hundreds of spectators. Ready to go. Pre-made gimmicks, high quality, are included. They're made with super durable materials and they'll last forever. No preparation. It resets automatically at the end. Put it in your pocket and you're ready to perform anytime. And everything happens in real time without assistance or pre-show. Like, what the fuck?
Looks amazing, but they really don't show you much about it at all. Like, they just show you like grabbing. It kind of looks like my Sonata card gimmick from my cohort gaff deck, you know, yeah. In a way, but yeah. It's hard to, they don't really show you a performance.
They don't at all.
It sounds phenomenal to make a card in your hand, but.
It sounds ridiculous. Like, it sounds impossible.
Yeah.
Like, if you gave me those stipulations and you told me to create a magic trick that did that, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah. It looks amazing. I'm trying to figure out, like, what are you getting for if your $150? Anyway, if it does what it's supposed to, and it's not my gimmick... then I want one.
But your gimmick wouldn't cost that much. Like, you've got to think that there's going to be some stuff to it for that price.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be. Just a full deck of them. But it says no indexes, right?
Yeah, it says no indexes.
How on earth? This is phenomenal. I need to know what this is. Oh, it's been out for 3 years, apparently. Interesting.
No idea. No fucking clue.
The video is 3 years old anyway, on YouTube that I found. This looks great. Craig, buy it and review it.
Looks amazing. Oh, great. Yeah. I'll just drop the 150 quid on it.
You spend like $2,000 a month on magic.
Yeah, and half of it's just thrown away.
Why don't you ever like put it up for contests and stuff?
I can't be bothered because I'd never send it out.
Fair.
I know I wouldn't. What's the point? Just going to piss people off. I'm not about pissing people off.
You have
all.
Like 30 medical staff. Can't you just like put one of them on shipping?
Shipping, yeah, I really should, shouldn't I? Yeah, I should get around to it. One other thing I want to talk about as well. Two other things. Two new items being released recently by Penguin Magic. The first is Steve Gore's flight deck. They've bought the rights to it and they've rebought it back out from years ago. Do you remember the flight deck? Yeah, it's basically his Edgemark deck. It's a very unique way of doing an Edgemark deck, so that you can have the deck shuffled by the spectator, and it's marked in such a way that when they name a card, you can literally cut straight to the card.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like a butterfly deck.
Like Butterfly, it actually came out before the Butterfly Deck. Flight Deck did, but yeah.
Oh, wow, did it? Yeah. It's so fucking clever. It looks like a regular deck. Like, it looks like a completely normal, regular, and I don't mean like a regular Magic deck. It looks like the type of deck you would buy on a train, or which I love. I love that about it. And I think I've seen Azzy Wind using it on the Huberman podcast. Did you see that?
Really?
Like, long performance of Azzy Wind just jazzing, doing a bunch of magic?
No, I didn't. No.
So it's, yes, Azzy Wind performing to Huberman, and it's got like hundreds of thousands of views on there. And he does like a 11-minute set, just sort of really, 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 really fucking powerful material. And a deck of the weapon of choice for it was this deck, I think. I might be wrong, but I think it was this deck.
Oh, wow. Well, so it's very good, very, very good. Steve Gore is an incredible creator of magic. And you know, the flight deck, I reviewed it years ago when it, years ago, and when I did a Steve Gore review show special. And it's good. It's really, really good. It's nice that Penguin have got behind it as well. The other thing is this. This is the thing that everyone's talking about from Penguin. Have you seen this? I've just sent you the link.
Let's see. So let's get to that point in the episode.
He's starting to zone out, people. We might be needing to
Unliftable by Inakai and Javier Franco. I actually seen this about 10 years ago, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I feel like it was submitted to Illusionist. Shouldn't have sent that in. Just purely out of principle. Yeah, I feel like it was submitted to E 10 years ago or something like that. But that's where I've seen it. It's clever, clever principle, and it really works. Really fucking works.
Oh, great. Well, I haven't seen it at all, but the trailer makes it look great.
Yeah, it's literally a box of cards, and at your fucking control, it can be lifted or not lifted off the table. And I played with it. Wow. Somebody had it at Blackpool, so I got to experience the physical sensation of it for the first time, and it literally does exactly what it says on the tin. You can, it's either light or heavy instantly, and there's no electronics. The method is pretty damn surefire, and all you need is this box and the little, like, I won't give away what the gimmick is, but the gimmick is essentially like a card, like a playing card sort of thing. You know, it's like, fuck all. If it's the same thing I'm thinking, but I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I definitely want to check that out because that looks very, very interesting. There was an unliftable deck at Blackpool that I kind of went and looked at, but it didn't seem very good at all, to be perfectly honest. I wasn't impressed with it. So, hopefully this one will be a little bit better.
Oh, is this the same one? This is the one, maybe the same one from Blackpool?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see how it worked. I just looked at it and I was like, nah.
Any more products or are we on to Sorry Not Sorry?
I think we're on to Sorry Not Sorry. I mean, I don't think... there is... Have you heard about a new app by Joshua Riley?
Oh, yeah, dude. I've known about this for a fucking hugely long time.
He's messaged me telling me that he's got a new app. And it was... This last week, I've been very, very busy dealing with some other stuff in my life that I've not really had a chance to... I've not really had a chance, to be honest, to...
How can I explain it? I'll just go straight into it. So everyone loves add a number routines, right? Yeah. Well, not everyone loves add a number, but it's a really fucking good premise. And normally add a numbers are done like nowadays on a calculator on a phone, which I think, even though Cypher was the very first one, even I'm fucking bored of seeing it. You know, and I created it with Will Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And so if failing that, people use like the Chronoforce app or generally piece of paper, like a little booklet. So a piece of paper and a booklet. And yeah, they're all like, they all have their values and they all have their pros and their cons, but the organic nature of them sometimes is lacking. Yeah. You know, who carries a pen and paper around with them for a start these days? I don't. And then to bring out the calculator, it kind of feels like it's a bit convoluted, the steps involved in between. You know, like if you could, if you were just going to create a number by adding them, I don't know, maybe not. But either way, it's called L4D. And if you've got an Apple phone and you have Apple Pay on your phone, right?
Yeah.
So everyone knows that if you double tap to get your Apple Pay up, at the end, you see your card. You can choose between like however many bank cards you have on there, and it'll show you the last four digits of the card, right?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, you say to someone, I have a prediction. We're going to create a number, and the way we'll do it is by using the last four digits of your bank card and my bank card.
Okay.
Get the last four digits up. I'll show you my last four digits, and we'll add them together. And that matches the prediction perfectly.
Holy
and that prediction could be the last. It could be the last few numbers on the serial number. It can be the last one few numbers to a phone number. It can be the amount of change. It can, you know, correlate to positions of deck or time. There's just so much you can reveal and predict with it, and force with it as well. You don't just have to predict; you can force. But it's just so direct and so clean. You're like, oh look, we'll just use the last four digits on your bank card, which is something. I couldn't know what yours is. Yours is locked away in your wallet, and everybody's last word is just completely unique and different. And it's the direct nature of it that I like. That it's just straight to the point. There's no like, okay, now add this, now times it by your birthday, now divide it by this and plus it by that, or stop when you feel like you're at the, you know what I mean? And write it down on a piece of pad and paper. Now close that pad and hand it to somebody very far away that's not going to hand it back to you. It's just take the last four digits of your bank card. I'll take the last four digits of my bank, and they can choose which one of your bank cards to use.
Wow.
And you can show afterwards that all the four digits are different as well. Like if you use this bank card, it would be different. This bank card would have been different. If you used another bank card of yours, it would have been different. Another bank card of yours would have been different. This is genuinely a fair choice. And if we'd used any other options, we would have had a completely different total and outcome. Correct? And they will swear down that you are correct. And then, yeah, it matches. It's fucking brilliant.
Wow. It is
really good.
It's kind of flown under the radar as well. It's just
flown under the radar massively. Like I do like it when things like this happen, but it's one of those apps that it's going to be in that same vein of a digital force bag, I think. Once people actually get it and then start showing their mates and going, oh, this is actually what it does. This is how fucking straight to the point it is and how convincing it is. And I think that's one of my favorite parts to it, is how convincing it is. Once people actually start showing this around, it's going to take off. It's really going to take off.
That's sick. That's amazing. That's great. I'm going to be looking at it today. I'm going to try and do a review on it for this weekend if I can, because Josh has asked me to review it. So,
you're going to be hooked on it. I guarantee you, this is one of those apps that you're going to end up talking about in a year's time. Be like, oh yeah, since I've got this one, I've ended up using this all the fucking time.
Wow. Sick.
It's really, really good, man. Genuinely. And I'm not saying it because Josh worked with Murphy's and developed other apps. I have the same feelings of this as that acronym app. And I don't know, I have no affiliation with the acronym people at all, but I love this type of magic, and both of these are fucking good apps. I say apps for the acronym one. It's not really an app, but you know, it requires a phone. Both these are fantastic pieces of magic for using a phone. Fantastic.
Wow, wow, wow. That's great. That's awesome. That's sick. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well, that's, I think we've covered products, man. Have you got anything that you're sorry about or not sorry about? Or have you got anything you want to get off your chest?
Not really. I seen an interesting thread the other day, though, which I thought would be interesting to talk about from your perspective, which was, you know, the really untimely passing of Scott Alexander. It was fucking horrendous for so many people. And I seen someone posting, and they said, admittedly so, like they feel like they were going to be opening up a can of worms by asking this question. However, they had bought $200 worth of stock, I think it was, or $200 worth of product from Scott just before he passed away. And then unfortunately he passed away. And they've been trying for the last year to get it from the estate, like either the money back or the goods. And, you know, they haven't had any success with it. You know, what do you do in a situation like this? Like, I know my own personal views, but I'd love to know what your approach to it is. And also, just bear in mind that, like, not everyone's in the same financial position than you.
Exactly. And I was going to say that, like, I, anybody who knows me knows how much Scott Alexander has meant to me as a person. 50 to 60% of my show is Scott Alexander material. Ryland's currently working on a bubble act that's all based around Scott's Wishes 3.0. And I never bothered saying this to anybody, but I had an outstanding order with Scott as well when he passed away. And I've kind of just shelved it because and the reason I shelved it is because I kind of put myself in position. Scott was only about 5 years older than me and was a working pro like I am, created magic like I am, had a wife and kids like I did. And I just kind of thought to myself, if I died suddenly and nobody was actually, like, there was no, like, thing beforehand, people weren't aware that I was ill or whatever, and it just literally happened out of the blue, the last thing that I'd be wanting is for anybody to hassle my wife and kids, because they're going to be going through enough shit as it is without having to worry about how to make this prop to give it to somebody. And that $200 that they're asking back for might be the difference between feeding the kids or not. I don't know. I know that a lot of performers, like, I don't know Scott's situation at all, but I know a lot of performers, because I know a lot of entertainers, they don't save money. They're not very good at saving money. They're not like... they live month by month. You know, it's why so many magicians struggle in January and February, because they're quieter months and they go through December and make a lot of money in December and probably spend a lot of money in December, and then have a massive tax bill, at least in the UK, at the end of January, which wipes them out. And then February, they tend to be like, you know, it's why a lot of people go, oh, I can't afford to come to Blackpool this year because of XYZ. And I don't want to have my conscience worried about what his family is going to do, because, do you know what I mean? However, on the flip side of that, I don't know where people's personal situations are. Like, you know, $200 could be a lot of money to somebody. You know, and I understand why somebody would want that money back. I totally get that. But I can only assume that the money that was spent on magic tricks was not money that was earmarked for bills. It was not money that was earmarked for their mortgage or their rent or their kids' lunches, because they're choosing to spend it on a magic prop. If I didn't have any money, the first thing that I would do is stop buying magic immediately, because I don't need magic. If you're a working pro, you probably don't need to buy another trick ever again to be able to do a successful show. If you aren't a working pro, you don't need to buy magic. So if you've chosen to spend money on a magic trick which hasn't arrived, I can only assume that that money wasn't earmarked towards a vital bill that you need in order to survive.
That's a really, really good point, because, yeah, like, magic products are generally a luxury hobby, because if you're a working professional and you need them, then by the very nature of being a working professional, you shouldn't be. $200 for a prop could be, a year later, you should probably be able to pay that off in a gig by doing card tricks, sponge ball tricks. Even if you're a stage magician, you know, you're not going to need to desperately recoup that if you're a professional. And if you're not a professional and you've got another job and you're spending $200 on magic props, then that's not. That it seems like you're in a position of not need, you know, that money isn't important. If it was money you'd spent on buying £200 worth of shopping from Tesco, and it didn't get delivered for a year, well, you know, unless you were dead then by that point. But unless it, you know, if it wasn't delivered, and you were desperate for that money, I'd be like, give them the fucking money back.
Yeah,
you know, those were essentials. But a year later, you know, that's less. That's what's that? $200. I could have put like 75 pence a day away, you know, to make it up for it. It's a really tricky one, especially when there's death involved and their family, the ones that have to deal with all the things like the estate and stuff going into, I don't know what they call it in America, like escrow or, you know, inheritance tax and all this shit. And I think personally, and again, I'm speaking from my own personal financial situation, I am good with money, you know, I've got lots of savings and I wouldn't affect me, but my personal situation, $200 is like, you know, I would never chase it. Yeah. That's the type of money I give to like charity and stuff. But if that was a $10,000 or $20,000 and it was a stage illusion, I would be chasing that type of money, or at least inquiring into it and wanting to have an answer. If they said, look, we used all that money on the funeral and, you know, getting him home, then I'd be like, okay, right, no worries. Performers have insurance, like
they can do if they choose to take it out, that sort of insurance. It's life insurance, really. If I was a Murphy's or a Penguin, I would be offering to buy Scott's back catalogue, like Murphy's did with Daryl's estate. Because Scott has brought out so much incredible magic over the years that was very, very creative, but also relatively easy to produce. Like a lot of the stuff that sold incredibly well doesn't take that much to actually produce. And I think if a company had the Scott Alexander legacy line, bearing in mind that a lot of Scott's stuff was stage magic and was released purely through himself and very rarely was put through a wholesaler like Murphy's, I think that would be something that I would be doing. I would be seriously considering doing that. If I was Murphy's, I'd be reaching out because what I'd do is I'd reach out and I'd say, right, how many orders are outstanding and what's outstanding? And then what I'd do is I'd buy the legacy line, make sure that his family are well looked after. And then I'd offer to, when the props are reproduced through Murphy's or Penguin or whatever, offer to send anyone who's waiting for one of them one out for free. I think that would do so much goodwill within the magic community, which is always an important thing. I think it would be a good thing to do for Scott's family, and also would have a very unique line of routines and have their, you know, their company name synonymous with one of the best performers and creators that has come about in the last decade.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if it'd be something that Murphy's would do, because there's a lot of other things that happen, you know. It's a lot more strings to that bow. Not for Scott, I mean, on a personal level, anyway, stretch of warm. But I mean, it's just a lot. Like, I know they've acquired Daryl and L&L catalogs. I'm completely speaking out, not on behalf of Murphy's here, but I mean, like, Daryl and L&L are almost like, they're like mammoth, you know. And I think, like, because the Murphy's works on such grand scales, it made financial sense to them. But someone like a Vanishing, possibly picking this up or picking up, either way, but back to the, it's a fantastic suggestion, but back to the matter at hand, like, what's the right way to navigate someone asking for the money back a year later when it's such a, in, you know, depending on your circumstances and life, you know, $200 I'd say to the average person is $200 a year later is nothing. But to some people it's really not. And I get that. I was that person. So I understand the value of money. Like I really know the price of a pint of milk. And I'm trying to think, like, old me living in a one bedroom flat with my mother above a cafe, and she was working two jobs just to put food on the table. I'm trying to think, like, you know, back in that lifestyle, would I have chased it? Like, I don't know. I don't think I would have. But also different cultures as well. Like, I don't know, at least in, like, Wales, in this, like, little community and stuff, when someone dies, you sort of, and, you know, you understand the circumstance, you sort of leave almost everything go. You know?
Yep.
You let them... You know, I don't know. It's, but in other places, it's a lot more black and white, I suppose. It's tricky. I just wanted to bring it up. I just want to know your thoughts. And
yeah, I personally would and have left it because I think they've got more than enough things to worry about. But I think you need to ask yourself a question. Can you afford to let it go?
Yeah.
And if you can, how would you like your family to be dealt with if you passed away suddenly? And then make a decision for yourself. My decision is, I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not... It's you know, it's relative, isn't it? It is subjective, but I would, for me, I would just be reaching out. I first of all, if I was just a customer, I wouldn't want to be. I would just send my condolences, and I wouldn't want to cause any upset, no matter, you know, a year later or so, unless it was a really substantial amount of money, like really substantial. But then, to some people, $200 really is. But then, like you said, on the flip side, if that's money on a magic prop, then it wasn't bare necessity money. It wasn't your, you know, it wasn't your breadline money. And if you're a pro, I don't know. It's, yeah. I don't know. It's a really very difficult one to talk about, because you don't want to upset anyone on either side, because you can understand it. Some people are desperate for money and are fortunate, and some people are dealing with mourning right now. Or in mourning.
Yeah. And I think therein lies the problem. Yeah, definitely.
But it's always interesting to talk about topics that don't have a black and white answer.
No, and that's the problem. You know, everybody has to make their own mind up as to what they would do in that situation. But I, like I say, I would try and put yourself in the mindset of Scott's family.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, any do you have any sorry, not sorries?
Not really. Not that I can think of. There's nothing at the moment that's pissing me off.
It's just another week in paradise.
Just another fucking week in paradise. Nothing happening at all that would wind me up in any way, shape, or form. I'm tickety fucking boo.
But we need to. I'm sure by next week there will be something. So.
Oh yeah. I can't go a week without.
By next week, I'll have found another excuse to not fucking record the podcast again.
Well, exactly.
So, I won't give a shit, baby. Won't be back on memo.
I'm gonna reach back out to Pig Cake. Pig Cake, come back. All is forgiven. Get your Florida.
That could be an option, though. If I can't make it, you should have some stand-ins, some second-rate podcast hosts, some people to fill my tiny shoes. Tiny childlike shoes. I may have small shoes, but I may
have fucking massive Happy's phone number. Have you got Javier's phone number?
Oh, no. Javier is, I don't believe in God, but you know, there are people on earth that you actually think might actually be angels.
Yes.
Javier is one of those people. I never heard him speak ill of anybody on planet earth. I've never heard him say like a rude joke. I've never heard him. He's basically like the exact person you see on the trailers, but more creative behind closed doors. I think this would elicit PTSD if he came on this podcast. You know, I think he would end up just being like shaking in a ball, being like, I didn't know there was people out there in the world that were this disgusting and sick. Like, yeah,
motherfucker. But you spend time with Javier. You spend a lot of time with Javier.
Yeah, but I act like a different person around good people. I pretend I'm not a cunt.
Whilst on this podcast, you can be yourself. Of course, nobody fucking listens to
around him. Okay, this is better to describe Javier because he's such a good person. I act around Javier like I would around somebody's... I was going to say like my in-laws, but then I say kind of long from them. I act like I'm meeting somebody's grandparents for the first time.
Wow.
You get to like show the best side of myself around Javier.
I remember interviewing Javier about a year and a half ago on Magic TV, and he's the only person I've interviewed up until this point that actually burst into tears on the interview. He actually cried. Yeah, he cried. He was thinking about his past, and he was thinking about his various things that happened to him in the past, and he just broke down into tears. And afterwards I said, would you like me to edit that out? He's like, no. Fine.
Right. In Miami, we were filming the Dex trailer, and the whole theme with Dex, there was lightning fast, right? And this, the emblem for it was the X was created with a lightning bolt going through it, part of its design for it. And we were filming, we'd been working on it for, I think it was like coming up to 2-3 years. It was over 2 years, I think maybe three. And we'd seen the whole rollout of it, the teasing online, like the hype in on the hype, like the people getting excited all over the world. The manufacturing processes, we went then. I mean, it was all like a pipe dream, you know, and as it was getting closer and closer, we ended up fucking flying to Miami. We created this incredible friendship. We filmed all the instructions over the first few days. I met all his family. We went to dinner and stuff. It was just the bomb. Then we went and filmed live reactions, and we got the reactions that we could only ever fucking dreamt of. And the final shoot on the final night before we put the camera away, the final thing we shot was some B-roll. And the B-roll was us on Dania Beach and we were standing like, I can't remember what we were doing. We were standing like a lifeguard hut. And just as we started rolling, we were like, da da da. And we said to some talking head bits to get the B roll like into frames. Like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Dex is lightning quick. And as we start talking about it, lightning starts striking the background in the air. And it was the last shot of the last day, the last minute after 3 years of work. The whole theme was like lightning. And then lightning started striking the sky. And we fucking finished, got like this dream shot. And Javier was just like welled up and was just overcome with emotion. And again, like started crying, like, dude, this is insane. Like, this is how the fuck does this work? And he wears his heart on his sleeve, and it's just true, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He really is. Javier's amazing. We need more Javier. We need more Javier routines.
But don't get him on this podcast because you'd break him. You'd snap his asshole.
No, I need to go with Pig Cake. He's the perfect person to survive this podcast.
Pig Cake is fucking hilarious. And just because I laugh at his jokes doesn't mean I condone his jokes. And I do think it's important to say that.
How he hasn't been cancelled yet, I don't know. But yeah, he's...
Hey, America voted for Trump. And again, I'm not saying that Trump is good or bad. Please don't cancel me. I'm just saying they voted for someone who's done some crazy shit. He's done some crazy shit.
Yes. Although we can't talk, we had Boris Johnson.
Yeah, but did Boris Johnson, wasn't he definitely, I don't think he was convicted for being a rapist, though. Oh, neither was Trump, though. I actually think it was only a private court case. What's it called? Like a,
oh, my God.
It wasn't a legal case. I don't even think he came. I think it was, you know. Please, I encourage you, I implore you. There are far better podcasts out there than this lump of shit. And if you are one of our two listeners, then you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth and you're probably here for a reason, so we don't need to apologize. You already laughed this shit up.
I don't think there's been another podcast like this, Lloyd, where we actively try to discourage people from listening to it.
I've been trying for 3 years. It's horrible though. We do have a lot of listeners, and it seems like the more I try and dissuade people, the more they start. You know, who posts on the Magic Cafe about any other podcast?
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
It makes me feel sick, to be honest with you. I hate it when you let me know about the people that listen that are like actually well-respected magicians.
It's funny because this is going to be part of your legacy. When you're dead and your kid researches into your life. My dad was the best magician of all time. He created magic for magicians all over the world. He started a podcast. The episodes are still online. I'm going to listen to it. Fuck me, my dad was strange. Like, this is the legacy that you're leaving your kids, this podcast.
Well, no, once I find my get out of jail free card to stop recording this shit, these are being wiped from the internet, man.
Hang on, excuse me. I just need to go into the podcasting platform and change the access code.
Dude, I just look at how many listeners we get on some of these episodes. Like, what the fuck is this? Look at this. I'm going to send you a screenshot. Oh, no, I didn't. I did delete that screenshot. Let me send it again.
Go on.
Here you go.
Waiting for a screenshot. Okay, here it comes. It's insane how many people listen to this shit.
What the fuck? I can't believe one person's just replaying it that many times.
But what's weird about it as well is even when there's no episodes up for a few weeks, people just go and listen to the old ones again.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just one person listening to it 11,000 times.
Sitting in his bedroom, just furiously masturbating. Sheep porn.
Right, anyway, I'm bored of this shit. Can we fuck off now?
Yes, we're going to go now. Right, okay. So thank you once again for joining us on the Magic Podcast. Please don't ever listen to another one again. There's no substance to this at all. But we know you will. So thank you for being a loyal listener. We will see you again soon. It's your guess is as good as fucking my guess whether we'll be back next week. It very much depends on whether Lloyd's having his period or not. But I'll let you know. I literally don't know until the morning of the fucking day. So if we're there, brilliant. If not, we'll be back very, very soon. Regardless, thank you very much for joining us. And Lloyd, say those magical words.
Have a shit week, you losers. That was quite tame. But I meant the loser part, like you're all fucking losers. If you're listening to the podcast, and I'm inclusive of myself in this, I'm a fucking loser just for sitting here. It's so much more productive shit you could have been doing with your fucking time than listening to this. Honestly, half of it was just us not telling you about a trick we've made. What a fucking waste of time. Honestly.
It's very true.
At least your week is definitely going to be better than this.
It's maybe why people listen to it, because they want to feel better about themselves that they're not us.
That's true. When I used to skate, if I hurt myself, I used to pinch my arm or somewhere else. Say I hurt my knee by like landing on a piece of concrete. I'd pinch myself somewhere else so that I wouldn't think about the pain in my knee. And then I'd be like, oh, I know a pinch is going to stop hurting in a second. So it was like, it could only get better. So maybe some people listen to this, like after their dog died. Like, well, my dog's dead. Let's listen to something even worse than that. And then my dog died. It's not so fucking bad.
That reminds me of the other day. Ryland fell down a couple of stairs in the house. And he...
If you could do magic, you'd float, Wonder Boy.
He stubbed his toe. And he doesn't really cry very often, but he was like... My toe. And Thea just stood up, and she's the sweetest little girl in the world, and she just went over and she gave him a hug, and he went, get up, and she stepped backwards and she kicked him as hard as she could in the nuts. Whoa. And she just squarely kicked him as hard as she could in the nuts, and she went, there you go, now you don't have to worry about the pain in your foot, and she just walked off.
Oh my god, what an absolute baller. He just
dropped to the ground like
I hate my fucking life. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's actually a really good sister.
Yeah. Yeah, she's helping. So there you go.
On that note,
everybody fuck off.
Terrible week. Have a shit week.
Yeah. And we'll be back again at some point before the end of the year. I'm Craig. He's Lloyd.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck. See you soon. Fuck's sake.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.